I've always wanted to do that. I never get to talk about that. Can everybody hear okay? Cool. So my name's Sam, and I'm an alcoholic. I will say drugs do play a part of my story. I'll try to, you know, not go into super big specifics with that. But my sobriety date is June 27, 2017. My background before coming in, I was raised in an alcoholic family. I have a mom who's one of us who's in here now, but she came in a few years after I did. But I grew up seeing a lot of the general tropes that you see in like what would be considered like later stage alcoholism. Moved around a lot, lots of insecurity, lots of tension in house, lots of arguments. So, you know, growing up, I didn't really see it as super abnormal because, you know, it runs really, there's a lot of alcoholics in my family. And so it was kind of always just like, it was just kind of what I knew to be relatively normal. And then, you know, growing up, it all kind of, you know, as the years went on, as alcoholism tends to do, you know, she progressed farther and farther into the stages of it where it, you know, it definitely didn't get better. And, so it all kind of culminated where I got removed from that living situation and brought into what was could be considered a classically normal one. No alcohol in the house. It was a complete 180. Like no alcohol in the house that I knew of. Lots of you know people that I stayed in one spot from that point on. I had money for like clothes. I had all of that kind of stuff. Like I didn't have to wonder where food was going to come from or anything like that. And, you know, as I got older, the person who would eventually get me into the program, when my time came, I watched her get sober, so I got to see it actually work, and I got to see that, oh, you know, maybe what I grew up with wasn't super normal, you know, like it's, you know, it's not maybe the most normal to fend for yourself at such a young age. And, so, you know, watching her get sober and watching everything really kind of normalize, in the wake of that is when, you know, when everybody in my household finally thought everything had settled down is right when I really started to like show the signs of some good old fashioned alcoholism. I was exposed to, as I said, like drugs and alcohol from a very young age. The first time I remember being under the influence of anything wasn't really by choice, it was by accident. I know that's kind of a stereotypical cop-out answer, like, oh, no, I didn't mean to do that. But I started using and drinking at 13, and I never really fully stopped from that point on. I learned how to, like, it was just recreation. Like, I felt, like, not as anxious. I felt more like I belonged when I was, when I would drink. And, like, because I had always been really anxious. Like, I'm terrified to stand in front of a lot of people. I'm terrified to meet new people. I'm terrified of, I've always been scared of all that stuff. Just because I had to do it so much when I was younger, it just never really was something I got good at because I never knew when I was going to move again. And so when I remember when I first started, when I first picked up for the first time, I was washed over with that immediate relief of like, man, I feel like normal. This is how I should feel all the time. And like, you know, obviously at first, you know, when you're that young, it's a little bit you can't do it every single day. You know, you got to get to like, you know, I had to get to my ninth grade classes at some point. But what wound up happening for me was that like the years went on and as I got more comfortable using it, it became something where I just leaned more into it and was like, it started out as like, oh, well, you know, if I'm just going to a party and I'm going to be around, or if I'm going to go to like a social event, or if I'm going to do anything like that. And then it became a thing where it was like, well, I can just spend every day like this. And so I progressed extremely quickly. I started working in like kitchens when I was 15. And so naturally, you know, what goes with, you know, I got in through my dad who was, that's what he did for a living, and so I'd grown up idolizing that kind of culture and hearing his stories, and so I felt like I was fitting the bill of like, well, this is what he did, and he's way more stable. So I had all these different like motivations and reasons for doing what I was doing. But really what a lot of it was is that I never really stopped to consider, like, for me, like, the fact that I was following in the, without intending to, the exact path that, you know, what I had grown up watching. And I had hidden it, what I thought, relatively well from everybody around me. You know, I was able to kind of keep it, like, normal looking for not very long in the grand scheme of things, but to me it felt like a long time. But there, I reached the point right around, like, I don't even think I was driving it, where I didn't really care about hiding from my friends, at least at that point. I wanted to feel normal. I had all the excuses of, you don't know what I've been through. Like, they'd come up to me and they'd be very nervous, like my older friends would be, because they'd ask me, they'd be like, man, like, are you okay? Like, are you going through something? Because, like, you are definitely, like, I get it, like, we like to have fun, like, but, you know, I don't think I've seen you sober in, like, the past probably 10 or 12 times I've seen you. And I would be like, well, man, like, I just went through a lot as a, like, I'm just, you know, I hid behind, like, the tropes of what I thought would be, like, a good excuse for why I was like that. And I was like, well, you know, I've been through a lot from, like, a young age, and it's just, this is just how I'm choosing to deal with it. And you know, it didn't really get me, it didn't really work for anything. Like, it didn't change their minds as to the fact that, you know, I was slowly becoming more and more problematic. Like, people stopped inviting me to their houses because I would either make a complete mess. Like I'd go over and stay at, like, a friend's house and I'd trash the entire house, or I'd steal something from their mom, you know, like, just stuff like that. And I very quickly began to become, like, a very untrustworthy person, a very, like, people had, like, it, I friends that I have still now from that time said that I was somebody that they felt like they had to kind of prepare, they had to be in the mood to deal with that, because they knew it wasn't just going to be you could come over and hang out, because as soon as I saw anybody, it was just everything. By the time I became, like, 16, like, or I would say 15, 16, it had become something for me where it was the only thing that I really cared about. And, like, I wanted to be around people, because if I was around, like, a bunch of people, it didn't feel like I was the person who was alone in his house, you know. But it didn't feel, because when I was alone and I was loaded, it felt like a problem at that point. I didn't like that feeling. I didn't like feeling like, man, this is really kind of really sad if you really look at this. Like, I'm not doing something right. And so I tried to stay around as many people as possible, and, you know, because of that, I constantly put other people in harm's way. I would, you know, hang out with my little brother. My little brother's from my parents' roommate, so he's 13 years younger than I am. And I would drag him places all the time. Like I would take him out. I'd be, like, driving around with him in the back seat, and I'd be completely, just that way I wasn't entirely alone, or that way I had an excuse why I was going to leave the house for 20, 30 minutes. Oh, I'm going to take him up to the store. I would just, you know, he'd be sitting in a car seat, and I'd be, like, hanging on to consciousness, driving him around. And I progressively put friends' lives and like, their own securities in danger all the time. You know, I would be like, yeah, man, let's go to, like, the movies or something. And I'd wind up bringing my friends to, like, what you could classically describe as, like, I guess, crack houses, you know, like, people who had no desire to be there, who were just like, yeah, man, let's go see a movie and hang out, and now they're in my car, and now they're going to do whatever I want to do, you know, so now you're just along for the ride, so I'm not alone. And I very quickly started hemorrhaging people out of my life. People just, you know, understandably didn't necessarily want to, you know, hang out with somebody that they couldn't. I always wanted the control of the situation, so I was always going to be the one setting what we were going to be doing. And because, you know, my behavior at that time was very selfishly motivated, it didn't matter. Like, you could try, like, they could, you know, you could stick me in a room, in a car, like, they could try to regain control of the situation, and I would always, at that point, there was no consideration for anybody else's well-being, anybody else's, like, enjoyment. It was all, I lived the last few years before I came in very much so entirely selfishly motivated, and because of that, you know, as I neared closer to the time when I got sober, like, it was, my family had caught on, my family was sick and tired of all of my behavior. You know, the people who had the most tolerance for it, were, I mean, they were, I put them through the ringer. I was at that point stealing from everybody in that I could, you know, get close to, because I, you know, no matter how much I worked, it seemed like after the first weekend after payday, I had no money at all ever. And, I remember one of the last people that I had that was, like, legitimately caring about it. Like, I've got a younger sister as well, and I remember, she would, like, I remember there was a few instances where she had to come and drag me. She found me in the driveway at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning and had to come and, she had to come and pick me up and clean me up because she was all worried that my parents were going to freak out. And so, you know, she had gone through a lot of the same stuff growing up that I had gone through. And so it was one of those things where she had always been like, I'm not going near it. I'm not going to touch any of it. I don't want to ever be around any of this again. And, you know, and she's always been super caring and super loving. And, you know, because of that, I knew that I could show up in whatever state that I wanted and she would just make sure that everything went fine. You know, she would take care of me and make sure that I got off as close to scot-free as you could, because I knew she was never gonna, she didn't want to see me get, she didn't want to see, like, she wanted to, I guess, protect me from, like, getting thrown out or getting sent somewhere or anything like that. And so I relied on that. I knew that that was the case. And so I wound up, when I had nobody else friend-wise to cover for me, I didn't have any houses to crash at, I didn't have any, people's parents to steal from or anything like that, or friends to, you know, take from. I just shifted all of that onto her. And so, you know, the last time that I remember, my last drunk was, it was the same kind of situation where she finally did wind up telling, like, she was concerned enough that she wound up saying something, but it was the same kind of situation. She found me laying in the driveway, and I was all covered in all kinds of stuff, and she was, I'm not going to go into detail, it's a little embarrassing when I was covered in, but, no, she wound up, and, like, she couldn't get me up. I wasn't, like, she couldn't get me to say anything or move or do anything, and she was really, like, nervous, and my parents were out of town, and it was the one time they'd gone out of town in the 10 years or less than 10 years, and, like, the entire time I lived there, they finally decided to go out of town and take, like, a little time for themselves, and, like, the night they left, I showed up like that, and so, you know, they get a phone call, and they're understandably a little irritated, and I had a few more, like, I didn't stop right then, but that was the last section of memory I have, because the last couple of months of, before I came in are just kind of not really there, but I wound up having that conversation with, luckily I had somebody in that household who was a recovering alcoholic and still is. And because of that, I wasn't given the treatment that I had assumed that I was going to get. I was given the option of, all right, she attacked it from an alcoholic standpoint of, well, maybe we should take it in meetings, maybe we should do all this. And I think because of that, I mean, she is the only reason I'm here. But the only reason I got here in the first place, and I almost immediately found myself in all kinds, in, like, NA and AA meetings, and it was a very confusing thing, because I came from being completely miserable all the time. Like, I hated the way I felt all the time. Like, waking up in the morning, like, I never felt, I was always trying to find, like, to just turn the switch off for, like, a little bit. And so when I came in, I'm absolutely miserable. I'm withdrawing. I'm going through all kinds of stuff, and I see a bunch of really happy people. It made me really angry at first, because I legitimately thought, like, there's no way any of you guys are this happy if I feel the way I do right now. And then I met my sponsor. She introduced me to him as well, and that was the most polar opposite personality-wise that I could have been introduced to. And I remember it was one of my first AA meetings, and he took me to this meeting, and I was like babbling his head off with all kinds of nonsense that I don't really remember, but apparently it was a little out there. And the first meeting he took me to, he was like, I don't remember much of it, thankfully, but he does. And he tells me, yeah, it was a huge like celebration meeting. There was like 300 people there. And this is like I had gone to NA twice, and this was my first AA meeting. So I'm three meetings in, and I'm the hundreds of people, and I'm 17, and I've got like half dyed hair, and I'm like, I stand out like a sore thumb, and I'm just like, I do remember staring at the floor tiles. That's the only thing from that meeting I remember. But I came in, and I immediately, like, I didn't feel like there was an option. I was kind of trying to just cover myself, but then I just kind of, I kind of wanted to see if I could find something that would make me not feel the way I had always felt. Because as I said, I'd always felt like out of place. And then as I got older and I got into, and I engaged in active alcoholism, I always felt miserable. Every day that I woke up, I hated what I was doing, but there was never the consideration of stopping because I had to make that kind of go away. And it never did. And, so when I came in here and I see all these people who are telling all these stories exactly like mine, I'm listening to guys at the time I considered them old men. They were probably like 32. I'm listening to all these people tell these stories, and I'm like, I don't have anything in common with all these people. I'm gonna be sitting up here. I'm gonna be like, I just assumed my fun part of my life was over, and I was like, oh, come on, man. I was like, I'm gonna be in churches every single night. I'm going to just be miserable. I'm going to hate all this. This is going to suck. I'm going to be playing bingo. This is terrible. And so, like, what I found was that I would listen to these guys tell these people tell their stories, and I would, and I just heard exactly what I was going through. Like, hearing people talk about, oh, man, I felt so just miserable every day I woke up, or every day, and, like, right here, like, every day I wanted to die, and I remember feeling like I was in a room with hundreds of, or like over the time period of all these different meetings, just surrounded myself with tons of people who I felt like, this is just different versions of me. This is exactly how I feel all the time. Because like when I would tell these feelings to like people outside of the rooms, they would look at me like I was insane. So I just didn't talk about them. And so I met all of you guys, and I was just immediately like, I still thought a lot of you guys were faking the happiness, and like the, none of this stuff worries me. And part of it is because my sponsor is like the most laid back human being I've ever met. But it was just confusing to me, and I just had to know more. I had to see like what it was that y'all were offering. And so I immediately got a sponsor, and I immediately just started working the steps. And at first, I will say, like, part of the reason I did it was because, like, I felt so connected to everybody in the rooms, and I just wanted to belong so badly. And, but then the longer I was here, the more and more I felt, like, my problems slipping away, that weight was coming off my back. I wasn't looking in the rearview mirror all the time when I was driving anymore. I found myself actually driving, like, vehicles with, like real registration stickers and inspection stickers and not stolen plates and all kinds of other stuff like that. And I remember shortly after I got sober, one of the biggest feelings of like relief I guess I got was I actually got pulled over after just leaving a meeting. And I had one of my buddies, I had one of my buddies in the car. And I got pulled over, and there was that instant panic, the same one that would have existed prior. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, I'm going to jail. I was like, oh man. I was like, this guy, I look like a crackhead. I'm going to jail. And so, but then immediately I was like, well, why? I didn't do anything. And it wound up being something like a taillight was out. But it was that like immediate, like, oh wait, I don't have any reason to be afraid of like, you know, like I don't have any reason to like constantly walk and try not to be noticed. And, I found myself not checking, which, you know, I've gotten a lot of speeding tickets, but I should probably check a little bit more. But I got involved because I wanted to meet more of y'all, and I wanted to like have this like I wanted to I kept like like searching for more and more people and more people's stories. And I wanted to belong to something. And so I went to all these events. One of the events, my sponsor was in the car, and it was the first car accident I got into. And I drove intoxicated hundreds of times. And the first one I got into was, I think I was maybe a month and a half sober. I was going to like a big eating convention or something. There was a lot of food when I first got sober. And, but no, like I had, I just dove in and I started working the steps, and I started trying to do it as diligently as I could. And the biggest thing that I noticed was that like I had so many positive changes almost immediately start happening in my life. Like I started, like I, all that sense of worry was starting to slip away, and I got really comfortable and really happy. And so I stopped going to as many meetings. And so I immediately regressed and got miserable again. And I remember I slowed down really heavily after the 90 days because I did my like 90 meetings in 90 days. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm working a lot. And I was like, I started skipping meetings and I started doing all that kind of stuff because I felt like I had it. And I did not. And I didn't drink, but I came very close, and I completely just lost any form of emotional sobriety that I had. I remember crying to my sponsor in the parking lot over it was something dumb, like a parking ticket. I don't remember. And my driving's gotten a lot worse since I got sober, believe it or not. And from that point on, I didn't do that again, because that was miserable. Being miserable in sobriety it's almost equivocal to like going through like new sobriety all over again, and that was terrible. And so I got back into it. I started hitting more meetings. I kept working the steps, and right around the time it was right around the time I picked up my 9-month chip. I got kicked out of my parents' house, and so like that was a huge like curveball in my life, because I had just turned 18 shortly before that, and I didn't really know what I was going to do. I had no life plan. I had ruined my chance to go to college. I didn't have any idea of what I was going to do. And so, I met with my sponsor. I talked to him all the time. I threw myself into AA even more. And the only thing that I focused on at that time was just not drinking over it. And everything worked out really well in the end. Like that whole series of events is how I wound up working where I do now. But at the time I was really scared, and I was just, because it was the first real time that I had ever been put in like a spot that wasn't comfortable in sobriety. And I didn't know what I was going to do, and I didn't have answers, and I didn't have the fallback of drinking I didn't have that to fall back on. And so having to experience, like, because at first I thought, like, prior to that, like, I was like, man, you know, dealing with problems is not that hard when you're, you know, not drinking. But it just wasn't, I just didn't have any real problems yet. And so, like, after that, what wound up happening was, is everything worked out better than I could have ever planned it to. And as usually is the case, if I get a little too handsy with my problems, they usually tend to go pretty terribly. But from that point on, I just kept throwing myself into the program. I got voluntold into a service position, that I didn't want to have at all. I don't know if anybody's been treasurer, but it's not very fun. It's very stressful for me, because I'm not good with numbers at all. Like, I'm terrible with math, and I'm terrible with, you know, being like keeping up with something outside of like I'd always be in like that rush of like, oh man, like I'd be like, yeah, I got like a month to worry about the budget, and then it'd be 2 days before and I'm trying to scramble to the bank and like do all the like find receipts and all kinds of other stuff. And but what I found for me was that service position, it kept me going to meetings when I would have you know, it kept me more like, I didn't want to just be the treasurer who showed up at just business meetings. And so it kind of kept me a little bit more adamant towards my home group. It kept me going to more meetings than I probably would have gone to. It's one of the big things, like, I haven't gone without a service position since, but I mean, that was a 2-year commitment, so that was kind of a, it's hard to say, like, oh yeah, well, I've had a bunch of different ones. But I attribute it to a lot of the, it held me more accountable than just the rooms or just the people would have, because now I was in charge of somebody's money, and I didn't want to be considered a thief anymore, so I really made sure I was here to, like, give a really, not really detailed report. AA has given me a lot of the, the pieces of, like, the parts of my life that I have today that I would not have considered possible. Like, you know, 4 years ago I was stealing from people and not showing up to anything. Like, I would constantly waft on any of my responsibilities. And then, you know, shortly at, like, I had, you know, 2 years in, the government decided to give me a clearance. I don't know why they would want to do that. I had to get 2 background checks, though. I had 2 darkroom security interviews to get mine. And nobody else in my, who came in with me, had any. Like, I got ratted. Somebody ratted on me about something, and I got questioned a lot for that. But they gave me a security clearance. Like, I had no idea what I wanted to do, which I know is normal for, relatively normal for people of the age that I was when I came in, but I didn't see myself. There was no, like, I didn't know what I was going to do, and that's, like, past, career, just past, like, relationships. Like, I just, when I came in, I was so lost in just what, in just myself, and I couldn't get any portion of my life together. And, you know, through the program, I've made, like, I don't play bingo. That is, like, I've yet to play a single game of that. But I've gone to, like it's the farthest thing from anything that I would have guessed that it was. I've traveled for concerts with people in the rooms. I've eaten so much more. Like, I didn't used to like ice cream. I've eaten probably, easily the weight of a cow's worth of ice cream since I came in here. I've made amazing friends, and and the problems in my life today aren't nearly as bad, or aren't nearly as unmanageable as the ones that I used to have. You know, like, I used to worry, like, am I going to get thrown out? Am I going to go to jail? Like, am I going to get fired from this job? Like, I got fired from the last one. Like, and now, like, I'm, you know, I don't worry about any of that because, you know, I don't have to worry about, you know, waking up and finding out I've missed 2 days of work. You know, I'm able to be accountable now. I don't destroy relationships the same way that I used to. I'm accountable within those. You know, I never would have guessed, like one of the biggest things, like the biggest things for me is, and it only came recently or relatively recently, was, you know, I've developed a really good relationship with a higher power. And, I was very anti, like, religion, very anti any of that stuff when I came in here. And for years in here, I just thought, like, I have it all figured out. Like, I was like, I got all this kind of, I was like, I know the answer as to why I'm here. My answer wasn't the best one, or wasn't really correct. But the thing, like, there was a point in my sobriety where I didn't feel like fighting all of that anymore. And so I developed a really good relationship with my higher power, and the biggest portion of my sobriety now has been based around that. It's one of the most important parts in my sobriety, because it's now is the first time when I can let go. Like, I'm a huge control freak, as are a lot of people that I've met in here, but I will purposefully drive, like, whatever I, like, my problem directly into the ground, just because, like, I can't let anything go. But, you know, I've had a lot of stuff happen in the past couple of months, like, lots of uncertainty about, like, housing, and lots of uncertainty about, you know, promotions in my job and things like that. Things that are just out of my control overall. And so, but they don't affect, I mean, I've done what I can with them, and I continue to do what I can with them, but they just aren't, like, they don't take up the forefront of my mind like they used to. Like, I used to create problems out of nothing just to give myself excuses to do what I wanted to do, and I was completely buried by my problems and my anxieties and my desire to control everything, even in sobriety. You know, like, I can't tell you how many relationships I, like, you know, I attempted to get into and then destroyed because of that same thing. But because of all the stuff that this program's given me and because I did what I was suggested to do, my life has turned out to be one of those ones where, like, I don't think I could have, I would not have pictured myself standing in a church in Suffolk four and some change years ago talking to a bunch of alcoholics. I never would have thought that I would have, you know, rebuilt the relationships that I had lost or that I could be there for the people. Like, my little brother doesn't remember me ever drinking. Like, he was young enough at the time where it didn't, like, he doesn't remember any of it. And so, like, for me, like, I think back a lot of the time into, like, driving and seeing him in the rear view, you know, and, like, it's one of those blessings today where he doesn't have to ever think about that the way I did growing up. I get to be there in ways that, like, you know, people, like, I didn't have growing up, and I get to, like, it's one of those living amends that I get to carry today with him, and it's one of, like, the things that I'm the most happy about, that I don't ever have to repeat the same mistakes that were done when I was younger, and, like, that I get to be there for the people that I care about, and that I get to live I live a free life today entirely. Like, I'm not bound, like, I'm not controlled and crushed by my obsession. I'm not, you know, I'm not constantly bouncing from place to place and constantly unhappy and constantly miserable. I'm pretty happy for, like, legitimately for, like, the first time in my life. And all of that is due to the program. I 100% would not have any of the stuff that I have without this. I don't think I would personally be here. But I'm very thankful to everything this program has given me, and it's all because of the people, the steps, and my higher power. And I realized that wasn't super long. I'm not super old, so I don't have a whole lot of story to tell. But yeah, I believe that's all I got.